This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
It was Joe Espada yesterday, Astros manager, following the game. Astros lose 8-1. Who cares? They're in the postseason. They'll be the 3 seed. Alex Bregman got a nice, I'll say, send-off from regular season baseball at Minute Maid Park, possibly yesterday. We'll see if Bregman is back after this postseason, if he comes back next year. But just in case Joe Espada wanted Alex Bregman and the fans to have a moment, which they did yesterday, here's Joe Espada talking about why Bregman is such a special player.
There's qualities that you look for in a winning player. Breggy has all of them. He cares about his teammates as number one. He's a winner. He cares about the city. He cares about the small things that sometimes you don't think about. Breggy's always thinking about that. He's in the cage helping his teammates. He's helping the pitchers with how they approach hitters. He's just a complete player. And, not only what he does on the field, but off the field. He's just a complete player. It's been great being around him for 7 years. And, let's not make this like we're never going to see him again. But I thought that today was a perfect day just for the fans, to show some love and respect for one of our best players.
Yeah, in retrospect, I thought it was cool when I first saw it. I'm like, no, this means he's definitely gone.
Yeah.
If they agreed to this, it sounds like Bregman was surprised by it yesterday.
It was I would say Blum was speaking in the past tense a little bit too.
Yeah.
And the guys that work for the team broadcast and everything, obviously they don't know that much, and they of the insider stuff and everything, but I feel like Blum's around enough that maybe the conversations have been such that it's a foregone conclusion that Bregman's probably gone. It's something that I intellectually knew, but I hadn't really allowed myself to emotionally feel it yet.
Yeah, and maybe there's a concern of paying two guys deep into their 30s. Maybe in some ways it's an Altuve or Bregman thing. Do you want to have a team? How much does it hinder you if you've got Altuve at age, 38?
Yeah.
And Bregman at age 35 or whatever he is, at the same time each making. I know Altuve's contract is structured kind of strange, like the back Altuve's contract is the most hyper-friendly team contract that you can come up with for a Hall of Fame player.
Built in what a player should, how a player should expect his play to decline at age 36, 37. And they built in the de-escalating non-Jose Abreu part of it all.
I've never seen anything like it. Like, he's making Altuve, in the last 4 years of the deal, he's going to be making $30 million, $30 million, and then $10 million, $10 million. Like, I've never seen anything like it. And maybe that's happened with other players, too. I'm sure it has. But that's not what Bregman's looking for. Bregman, like, this is his last big chance at a huge payday, probably, in his career.
And there are a lot of teams out there that'll say, though, if the Matt Chapman deal is six years, I think there are a lot of teams that'll say, yeah, reasonably, we can expect good production out of this guy for the, up through the age of 35, and we're cool if it's a little on. I think there are teams out there where Bregman's really the only quality third baseman out there in free agency, and he's a year younger than Matt Chapman. I'll be really surprised if he doesn't get that same deal. And the Astros have never gone more than 5 years on a contract extension for
anybody. Yeah, this is one, when Springer left, you could look and see, like, okay, this is still a really good baseball team. When Correa left, you could look at it and go, okay, this is a really good baseball team. And who knew that Peña was going to turn into what he turned into, but you knew at least they had solutions at the minor league level for Correa. And look, in retrospect, these last couple of years, no Correa with Peña have been a massive success. A massive success. You know, Peña's been a postseason MVP, and they're paying him the league minimum. Carlos has been making $30 million a year to nurse plantar fasciitis up in Minnesota, yeah. You know? So that's worked. You know, the pitching, when Gerrit Cole left and when JV left, and JV eventually came back, but when Gerrit Cole, JV, Charlie Morton, when they all left, you go, okay, well, there's a plethora of pitching. I don't know how we'll feel if we're going through this with Framber next year, but I look at this Bregman thing, Seth, and you look at it, you go, okay, this is a team that while the window is still open, they are not at the level they were at in the late teens and early 2020s. They're not. Mm-hmm. They're not going to win 90 games. This is the first full season since the first World Series that they're not going to win 90 games this year. And they won 90 last year exactly. So it's a team that is going backwards compared to what their peak was. And you've got Tucker and Framber where the possession arrow is pointed against them coming back too. But to me, it's what Bregman means to the fabric of the team. Like I know, as far as like Springer and Correa, boy, they were both fabric guys too. But Bregman,
well, with Bregman, you know, one thing Espada mentioned was just how much he cares about his teammates and all of that. I mean, he's the consummate pro when it comes to just working at your craft. Remember Lance McCullers telling the story about the plane rides after road games. Or as they were even after home, when they were just the plane rides in general, that Bregman would just have his head fixed on whatever MLB game was being broadcast on on the seat. I think McCullers described it as like on the seat back video.
Yeah.
Like he's just locked in, always just a consummate baseball junkie. The most obvious example of him helping his teammate out has been Hunter Brown. And just Bregman's advice for Hunter Brown to work his sinker back in that he hadn't thrown in professional baseball, and what a difference it made for Hunter Brown. You think about how many other moments there's probably been like that with Alex Bregman on little tips here and there, and how much he's probably helped out his teammates over the years. It's impossible to quantify. The other part of it, too, is just even in Bregman's down stretches or some of the bad playoff series that he's had, he's always giving you competitive at-bats.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, he's a pain in the ass for the opponent all the time.
Yep.
Yeah, if he can't do it offensively, he's doing it as a defender. If he's not producing the numbers offensively, he's still tending to give you really competitive at-bats, getting information for the other guys in the dugout, the things he's learning from those at-bats, all that stuff. And yet, The Astros have done this over and over again, and they've shown that they can continue to compete. I think if you look beyond this season, Sean, I guess where I look at the Astros right now is I don't want to be guilty of saying, like, well, don't worry about before June 1st because none of it matters. All right, it's a long baseball season, but before June 1st this year was one of the weirdest things.
It was an outlier. Yeah.
Since June 1st, you've gotten some really good players out of some younger, some really good play out of younger guys who have developed and come along. The pitching staff looks to be, you get guys back. You get guys back from injury this next offseason. Some of them are potentially trade pieces that make up for a little bit of your pipeline. I mean, the Astros, whether they win a World Series or not, it feels a little bit like what the Chiefs were able to do last year, which is, oh, it's a reset year. In which, by the way, we were a really good team in the reset year. But you can move forward some, but part of that reset is losing Alex Bregman.
Yep. Yeah.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40... it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Yeah, here's Bregman. Here's Bregman talking about, man, it's, and when I looked at the label on this cut, he says 9 seasons went by, and it's been 9 seasons for Bregman. He's right. 9 seasons went by in a flash.
It went really quick. I remember the first game here against the Yankees, and
was that grand slam that night, right?
Yeah, so that's the warning track to right center. Yeah, Michael Pineda was pitching. It happens fast.
We should point out that his debut should have come 3 days earlier, I think, against
Except
the Angels.
You got him to it. You got him to. Yeah, you guys screwed that up.
I walked him into a bear trap. Yeah, he was on. Boy, what a unique time that was when the Astros were just feeding guys. They were still kind of trying to get on the landscape back then, even though they made the playoffs the year before. We got on the triple threat with me and Rich Lord and Ted Johnson. We got Alex Bregman on the show while he was at AAA, or what, I think he was in Fresno at AAA, and it was obvious he was going to be coming up pretty soon. Mm-hmm. You know, he had gotten there and he was doing really, really well. And we had him on early in the week, and they were playing the Angels at the end of the week. And I just asked him a question where I said, every kid's, dreams about being in the major leagues and probably pictures who the pitcher is going to be that they're standing in the box going against. Who do you picture? You know, like when you're dreaming like that, who did you picture? Figuring he'd say, like, I don't know, Randy Johnson or some, whatever. He goes, I don't know, but they wear a gray and red uniform. the colors of the Angels. Yeah. And we're all looking at each other like, oh, okay. I think we just got a scoop there, maybe, that he's going to. And then all the rumors had been he was coming up for that series with the Angels. Mysteriously, the Astros held off for 3 more days after that.
I don't know. I wouldn't. You know what? I think Bregman was probably just doing his visualization exercises and everything, getting himself ready for that potential. So, but maybe.
Why are you harshing my scoop that I got 9 years ago?
Well, because I feel like you felt guilty about maybe delaying his little bit of. I don't know.
Nah,
I don't know.
Combination.
As long as you didn't feel guilty about it.
Combo of guilt and pride. I can feel both, right?
That. Regarding that debut, we remembered Bregman had a rough go of it at the plate.
1 for 30.
Yeah, over 30 to start off his career. This is what I worry about with Bregman the same way I worry about with George, that I feel bad for George Springer in some regards, is that, man, when I went to that game in Toronto a couple years ago, it was very clear that, okay, boy, very few Springer jerseys, and Springer did, he hadn't been tearing off at an all-star pace that year or anything, and it's just, there will never be that same level of belovedness for George Springer as there was in Houston. And Bregman, I think likewise, man.
Same.
Bregman's long droughts, easier for him to weather those in terms of adulation from the fan base. And it's not like it's been rosy for him from the fan base at times.
No.
But it's a lot easier when you got a couple World Series victories behind it.
It is.
If he's going through these long droughts on a new team where he was supposed to be the guy to put him over the hump, it's not going to be the same reception.
Dude, and the droughts are always at the beginning. You know, one thing, if you had a hot April and May and then there's a drought in June, you can weather that,
What has he been? What is Bregman?
What do you mean?
He's a notoriously slow starter.
Okay, guys, I thought you were talking.
Thank you, Ben, for understanding what I was saying there, and unlike Sean.
I did not. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Thursday. Let's get back to the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Texans. The Texans can accomplish something here beyond just the final score. They might get a dude fired this weekend, and if so, the odds board has some really interesting stuff if you're an AFC South opponent of the Jags in future years. We'll get to that coming up next.